I like that. That's old school. Amen. Take your Bible tonight and go to Job chapter number 5. Book of Job, right before the book of Psalms. I had this thought the other day and began working on it, and it turned into a series. I don't know if this will be 2 or 3 messages, but I know it'll be at least 2. You may not get a whole lot of help tonight. You may have to come back next Sunday night and get the rest of it. Amen? But we're going to get as far through here as we can. But I want you to look at Job chapter number 5. And then we're going to go to John chapter number 15. Job chapter 5 and John chapter number 15. Y'all glad you saved? Say amen.
Amen.
Y'all hear me okay? They need to turn me up a tad. Turn me up a tad, or are we good? Turn me up a tad. Amen. Just fuzz up there. Amen. Job chapter number 5. When you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Would you look with me? Let me grab my glasses here. Job chapter 5 and verse number 7. Job chapter 5 and verse number 7. Job said, "Yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly up." He said, man is born unto trouble. Don't let nobody tell you that life can be expected to be trouble free.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Go to John chapter number 15. John chapter number 15. A few verses of scripture tonight. John chapter number 15. When you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Look with me at verse number 20. The Lord said, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Job said, man's born unto what? Trouble. Jesus said, if they persecute me, they're going to persecute you. Look at John chapter number 16, verse number 33. The Lord said, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have, say it with me, tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Job said, we're born unto trouble. Jesus said, if they persecute me, they're going to persecute
you.
Jesus said, in the world ye shall have tribulation. Doesn't sound very promising, does it? In other words, if we live in this life, we're going to deal with difficulty.
Yep. Amen.
I got to be careful tonight. Understand me before I say what I'm about to. I'm not prejudiced.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm not. All I've heard on television for 2 or 3 days or a week is we want what? Anybody know?
Justice.
We want justice. Better be careful what you ask for. We ask for justice, we might get justice. I don't know how many times I've heard the statement, especially when my kids were little, this ain't fair. Well, that's not fair. How many times have you made that statement? That's not fair. Tonight I'm going to begin a series of messages on dealing with injustice. Everybody's asking for justice. If we had justice, we'd be in hell.
Amen.
Somebody say amen right there.
Amen.
If we got justice, we would be burning in the pits of the damned right now. Amen.
Amen.
I understand if somebody kills somebody unjustly, they ought to pay for their crime. But if we just march around cry for justice, we may just get justice.
Yeah.
I don't want justice. I want grace.
Amen.
Amen. I don't care where you live, which side of the tracks you're from, what color you are, how highly you're educated or how little you're educated, life is going to be unfair. Somebody said life stinks and then you die. That's got some truth to it. Amen. I read a story about Jim McLaren, 22 years old, graduate from Yale University, high up in his academic standing, excellent athlete, was riding his motorcycle home one night and got hit by a bus out of nowhere. Bus ran a red light, ran him over. They took him to the hospital. They thought him for dead. The excellent team in the emergency room revived him and got him back, and he lived, but when he woke up, he only had one leg. Young man, the beginning of a promising athletic career. Man, that doesn't sound fair, does it? Well, Jim McLaren went on to be one of the most well-known one-legged athletes that ever lived. He began running marathons, and then after doing well in that, he began to do triathlons. He became a triathlete. He would swim in competition 2.4 miles and then run 26.2 miles. Let me back that up. He would swim 2.4 miles, ride a bicycle 112 miles. And then run 26.2 miles. And he was the best at it ever. In 1998, I believe it was, he was competing in Los Angeles, California, 1993. Los Angeles, California. He's already been hit by a bus and lost one of his legs. He's made the best of it and become the best one-legged athlete in the country. Well, somehow they usually close those roads for that event. A van got through mistakenly somehow and hit him while he was on the bicycle. Jim McLaren wound up after that accident paralyzed from the waist down, or from the neck down. Doesn't seem fair, does it? People deal with injustice in a lot of different ways. How many of you have ever been treated unfairly? I'm going to be honest. You don't even have to answer this one, but how many of you have been unfair?
Amen.
Every single one of us. We live in a sin-cursed body, in a sin-cursed world. Let me just tell you again, life ain't fair. Over the next couple of weeks, I'm going to try to help you, just a little introduction tonight, but I want to help you how to deal with injustice. I know people who are out of church tonight because of injustice.
Yeah.
I know people who have quit serving Jesus because of injustice. By the way, Jesus has never treated you unfair.
Right.
So when you quit, it's not the church you quit, it's Him you quit.
Yes,
are you listening? I told a bus worker one time, they got mad and quit. They said, I ain't driving the bus no more. And I thought, you're not quitting me, buddy. You're quitting them children.
Yeah.
And then it dawned on me. Let's go a step above that. You're not just quitting them children. You're quitting God, the God who saved you, the God who shed His blood for you, the God who kept you out of hell. That's who you're quitting.
Amen.
I don't know how many times in 23 years of ministry I've heard, it's not fair. It's not fair. You would think we would grow out of that. Kids squabble at the house and said, it ain't fair. Why does she get to do it? Any parents ever heard that? But then we get older and it's just still, it ain't fair on another level. It ain't fair at work. Somebody gets, you get passed up for a promotion. This ain't fair. This ain't fair. Hey, you got a job?
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen. Just for a few minutes tonight, I want to talk about dealing with injustice, and I'm going to give you part number one, and I'm going to call this the reality of injustice. the reality of injustice. We could sit and fool ourselves and think, well, man, I know I'm a fair person and blah, blah. And we can try to be. But in reality, life is unjust. Would you agree? It's not fair. It's not fair. You got a crowd marching up down the road saying it ain't fair that the rich has got so much money and we've got so little. Well, it is fair. They work for it and earn it. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Go to Genesis chapter number 37. I want to talk about the history of injustice. This is not something that just started in recent years. Amen. Everybody's crying about rights and equality. Are we okay? I know y'all think I'm preaching this because of what's going on in Atlanta. I'm not. I'm preaching this because of what's going on in this room. I'm not preaching to that crowd marching up and down the street. I'm preaching to you. And I'm preaching to myself. Amen. We got to get to the place to where being treated unfairly doesn't affect the way we live for God. Let me ask you a question. You think Jesus might have been treated a little bit unfairly? What'd he have to say at Calvary? This ain't right. I didn't do anything wrong. I want justice. No, he could have caused justice right there. There was a slew of angels waiting on him just to nod his head. And it had been over. Just like that. When Jesus, like us, should have cried, it ain't fair. I want justice. That ain't what he said. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I don't care who you are. Hey, we need to quit crying. And we need to quit whining. Amen. We're living in a whiny baby society. We used to say, wah, wah, wah. Somebody call the wambulance. Y'all remember that? We used to say that all the time. What was it we used to say about the tiny violin? Anybody remember that? My heart bleeds, playing my heart bleeds for you, amen. Hey, sometimes, I know I'm not being uncompassionate tonight. I'm just saying we need to toughen up a little bit. Amen. We need to toughen up a little bit and realize, hey, we're in this life, but we're saved and we're on our way to heaven. And while we're here, Job has told us, Jesus has told us twice, and I could have picked out quite a few more scriptures in the Bible that told you and promised you from the get-go, it ain't going to be fair. Amen. Think about the history of injustice. Now, in Genesis chapter number 37, we've got the story about Israel or Jacob and Joseph. Y'all remember Joseph? The coat of many colors, wave at me. Y'all remember that? Amen. Now, Joseph was not an only child. Joseph had brothers. Now, I want you to notice verse number 3 of Genesis 37. Now, Israel, that's talking about Jacob, loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Joseph is the younger son. He's the son of his daddy's old age. By all rights, the elder son should have been the elevated one. This coat, and studying history and studying from different writers and things, this coat signified position or authority. In other words, daddy, because he loved Joseph more then all his children, elevated one above the other. I got to be careful here. Is there a chance that Jacob, Israel, was unjust to his other children? Sure he was. Wasn't fair. Did the brothers respond correctly? Now, we're going to deal with this passage of Scripture for a couple of weeks. No, they did not. And by the way, I'm going to get way ahead of myself. This will be part of next week. But being treated unjustly doesn't give you an excuse to treat unjustly. Are we okay? So Joseph, or Jacob, treats the rest of his children unjustly by promoting that younger son above the other, putting him in a position of authority. Jacob treated Jacob treated Joseph's brothers unfairly. In turn, Joseph's brothers treated him unfairly. You ever hear the old story, what goes around comes around? I'm not making light of Joseph, don't get me wrong. One of the clearest pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, no doubt about it. I'm just saying that as we look at this family, it wasn't fair. It wasn't fair. Question, did God have his hand on Joseph? Look at me. Did God have his hand on Joseph? Did God not use Joseph to save even the people who hated him? God knew what he was doing all along. So the next time you think you're being treated unfair, you don't know what God might be doing. Amen? Well, I thought about Daniel. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. They passed a decree and said there'll be no more praying. So Daniel went to his window like every time before and prayed 3 times a day. By law, the king had to have him thrown in a den of lions. Was that unfair? Yes, it was. Had it not happened, boy, we'd be missing a great story. Amen. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. All they did was refuse to bow down to the king's ungodly music. They got thrown into a fiery furnace. It wasn't fair. They found out when they got into a place of unfairness, God was there also. And you'll find out if you'll just be patient in your unfairness, you might find God in the middle of that too. Can you imagine those boys' thoughts and their mindset when they got thrown in that fire, knowing surely they're fixing to die? The men who opened the door of the furnace died. And they got chunked in there. Can you imagine their bewilderment when they get in the middle of that fire and it ain't hot? And the only thing that burns is the ropes. It's got them tied up. And they look over in the corner and there sits Jesus sipping on sweet tea. I'm kidding, he probably wasn't sipping sweet tea, but anyway, he was in there with them. Had it not been for the injustice, they would have never had that thing. Whoa, man. We go all through the Bible. David, a man after God's own heart, slew Goliath, chopped off his head. You know the story, danced in the city, the whole 9 yards. Saul is trying to kill him. He's hiding in a cave, and he wants to die. Unfair? Unfair. But I think if you study David's life, it took a lot of that to get him where he was. And to make him the king that he was. History is full of injustice. From the beginning of your Bible to the end of your Bible, you'll find people treated unfairly. I thought about in America, the worst injustice that's been known in our country is not somebody being shot by a cop. I'm against a cop shooting an innocent man. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying it's been worse. Shortly after the Civil War, Ulysses S. Grant became our president. Ulysses S. Grant's trying to get the country back on track. They're in the middle of a great, great depression. And they're having a little bit of Indian trouble. So they send the army. And they begin to slaughter the Indians. They finally get the Indians to settle on a reservation. They gave them pretty much the West. Started in the Black Hills of the Dakotas, reaching all the way down into Wyoming and Montana. The Lakota Sioux was there by the thousands, I mean thousands. And Grant said, "This is all yours, you just stay on that, and we'll stay on ours." And they had a treaty. In America, here's what a treaty means. We'll agree to this till we change our mind. Yeah. Those people were lied to. Those people were cheated. Those people were abused. Those people were slaughtered more than any people ever in the history of our nation. Chief Sitting Bull and Chief Crazy Horse were the leaders over the Lakota Sioux. And everything was great and everything was happy. They were keeping their end of the deal. The government was keeping its end of the deal. Till they discovered there's gold where we put them Indians. Excuse us, could we do another treaty? Sitting Bull said, "No. We like it where we are." "Well, we'll force you out." They found out they couldn't quite force them out. They had this battle led by Colonel Custer called the Battle of Little Bighorn. And at the Battle of Little Bighorn, the Lakota Sioux handed their rear ends to them, if you will. Slaughtered them. Well, Sherman is chief in command over our military. He has the bright idea. "I know what we'll do with the Indians. And it won't look so bad on us. Instead of slaughtering them, we'll take away their food." So our government started paying men per hide to kill their buffalo. You ever heard of the old buffalo hunters? The men were paid by the United States government to starve out the Indians. Slaughter is more humane than starvation. Finally, Crazy Horse surrenders. They put them on a little reservation and the Indians start to lose their spirit and their will to live. And Crazy Horse goes into the man who's over the treaty officer or whatever you call it. He goes in just to tell him, "We're not happy and this ain't what you promised." Well, it wasn't long, word got around that Crazy Horse was going to kill an officer, which he never said he was. They called him in to a meeting with the treaty officer. Crazy Horse thinks that this is the opportunity, this is the chance to go in and speak up for my people. It was a setup. They murdered him. Murdered him. Just got him away from the tribe and got him away from the people, and they stabbed Crazy Horse with a bayonet. Why are you telling us all that? Life ain't fair. It's always been that way, and it's always going to be that way. What happens is we get treated unfairly, and we get bitter. And we get angry, and we get mad. Some of y'all harboring bitterness tonight because somebody treated you unfairly. Somebody's treated you unjustly. By the way, every one of us, under the sound of my breath, everybody running up and down the roads tonight and every other church, we've all been treated unfairly. Yeah. I don't know how many times I've heard, "It ain't fair, it ain't fair, it ain't fair. We want justice." Y'all doing okay tonight? Yeah. If you'll study history, everybody's been treated unfairly. Amen. I've been treated unfairly. You've been treated unfairly. We were promised that by the Lord. So we should not expect anything less. We see injustice in history, and we find injustice in history, but then we find injustice among the heathen. Don't ever expect this world to treat you fairly. Are y'all okay? You know what I thought, Brother Allen? God called me to preach. I thought everybody loved preachers. I did. I thought, man, everybody, I did. I loved preachers. Even when I was lost, I was raised to respect the man of God. And I got saved, and God called me to preach, and I found out there ain't very many people out there that respect a man of God. Amen. They'll tell you a filthy, nasty joke just because you are a man of God. Amen. The heathen, the world I'm talking about, a lost society, is never, ever, ever going to treat you fairly. Amen. We might as well mark her down. When Jesus came into the world, what did Herod say? Kill all the boys. Kill them all. Wonder how some of them Hebrew women felt. It's not fair. My son's not the Messiah. He's just a baby. And when you bring that name Jesus into the equation, it offends the world. Oh, we can't offend them. We okay? How dare you offend a bunch of Muslims? I hope what I preach offends a Muslim. I give him my best Joel Osteen. What we preach ought to be offensive to them because it is totally contrary to what they believe. We preach the love of God. They preach hate. That's all they spew is hatred and murder. You got to be on drugs to believe what they believe. Amen. We find injustice in history, and then we find it from the heathen or the world, the people who do not know God. How do we expect the people who don't know our Savior to understand what we believe? I've had people cuss me out for bumper stickers on my truck. I had one time, and it fell off. Every time I'd go through a car wash, I'd forget it, and it'd get blowed off. And I'd get me another, and it was camouflaged. And it said, there's one God and one mediator toward God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Y'all remember that? Used to be on back at Toyota. Woo! Who would have thunk that'd start so many fights? I had a guy in an 18-wheeler right here on 61 down there across from my house begging me in his truck. I mean, he was standing in the seat of his 18-wheeler screaming at me like I could hear him. I could see his eyes bugged out of his head. He kept going like this right here and telling me to pull over. He wanted to fight. I said, no. I just reached down to my console. I said, if we pull over... I was trying to tell him, I ain't fighting you. I have got a solution. He's still wanting to pull over. I gassed him. Amen. Jesus has always offended this world. Jesus told us, he said, if they've done it to me, what do you expect? What do you expect? Well, the next time you want to jump on your high horse and holler, it ain't fair. Understand it. You may be right. But it doesn't give us reason to get angry and to get bitter, to get mad. You get angry and bitter, you're no good to nobody. Amen. I guarantee you, y'all go on your jobs tomorrow, you'll hear somebody gripe. Somebody will be griping about their job. They'll be griping about the heat. They'll be griping about this. They'll be griping about wah, 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 wah. What if we praised as much as we whine? Y'all ever thought about it? What if we spent as much time thanking God and giving Him glory as we do? Wah, 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 wah. It ain't fair. Like a bunch of two-year-olds. Dealing with injustice, the reality of it. You got to understand, life ain't fair. The Lord promised us, Job told us, and we've got it over and over in the Word of God. Man born a woman, Job said, it's a few days, full of trouble. Full of trouble. We see injustice in history. We can expect injustice from the heathen. And it's bad enough It's bad enough that we see it throughout history. It's bad enough that we get it from the heathen. But I'm going to give you this last one, and we're done. I'm just talking about the reality. I'm going to help you next week and tell you how to deal with it. Next week, we're going to talk about not the reality of injustice, but the root of it. Where it comes from. It's all sin. But I want you to notice, thirdly tonight, and I'm done, the third place we see injustice. And it's sad, but we see it in the home. We see it in the home. We've got our model family tonight in Genesis chapter number 37. We've got Jacob. Is Jacob a man of God? Oh yes, the Lord done changed his name from liar to prince. Y'all remember Jacob and Esau? Jacob stole the birthright and the dying blessing. He runs away from home and he meets God and gets in the wrestling match. And in the middle of the match, God asks him what his name is. And he said, my name's Jacob, cheater, supplanter, liar, con. It means all of that. It's what his name meant. And God said, from henceforth, we're going to call you Israel, prince. I'd say Jacob was a man of God. I'd say Jacob loved God. No doubt in my mind. I'd say he's probably a godlier man than all of us maybe put together. But did Jacob as a man treat his children unfairly? Yes or no? If you've got more than one kid, I've seen this. I've seen it in home after home after home after home where one kid is treated better than the other. How many of you got brothers and sisters? How many of you ever experienced it? Just about every hand in this room. Now listen to me, and I'm done with this tonight. We got to watch ourselves. If we're not careful, we will allow something in our flesh to create or place a root of bitterness in the heart of our own children. God knew what he was doing and God used the thing all the way through. But all Jacob did was plant bitterness in the heart of his children by elevating the one over the other. It wasn't fair. But did it happen? Oh yes. Now we're going to look at Joseph pretty extensively. If anybody ever handled being treated unfairly, that boy handled being treated unfairly. But I want us as moms and dads, especially dads, we ought to make sure that there's no injustice going on in our house. Amen. And it's hard. Do you know how tough it is? I got three kids. I got three adults now. You know how hard it is? They're individuals. They're different. I don't know how many times I heard, well, you let her do it when she was 14. One may mature quicker than another. Still waiting on Levi. Are you listening? Because you deal with each child differently, you got to be careful. Or your children will look back and go, I'm thinking about a family right now. And I won't say their names. But I love them with all my heart. But the siblings in the family call one of the siblings the godchild. That's their name for them. The godchild. Why? Got to be careful. Because life is centered around that one kid. You better be careful. Jacob began to center his life around that one boy, the son of his old age. Now, granted, some of them other boys were rotten. If you study their life, they were rotten. They were punks. I'm serious, heart attack, they were. But I wonder how much worse it made them. I wonder how much more they acted out because daddy loved little Joe better than he set all his children. He loved Joseph more than all his children. It's what verse number 3 said, I believe. He loved Joseph more than all his children. Jacob's creating a problem. The others shouldn't have responded in the way that they did. But isn't it nature? Now, when we're saved, now listen, we get a new nature. We're supposed to respond to things a little different than we did before we got saved. Just going on a track record. Before this year's out, what are we, about 6 months in? 7? Chances are, before this year's out, somebody sitting here tonight will be out. Because you got mad. Somebody didn't do you right. Well, okay? Are you here for Jesus or are you here for somebody?
Amen. Amen, sir.
I've been treated unfair. I ain't going nowhere.
Amen.
You can lie about me, Facebook me, do whatever you want. I ain't quitting.
Yes, sir.
I'm in this for Him. It's been Him that's took care of me.
Amen.
Amen. We got to watch out and guard injustice in our home. Jacob, a godly man. No doubt about it, he loved God. But by favoring one above the other, he created a problem. I've seen it in a home when I was growing up where one kid was elevated so high and the younger kid was beaten on a daily basis. Watched it with my own eyes. Seen it. One kid turned out all right, the other rotten. Mean, bitter, hateful, and angry. Why? Because of injustice. Do you think we can have injustice in a Christian home? Sure we can. The reality of injustice or injustice. We see it in history. We expect it from the heathen. And we see it even in our homes. And that's just the beginning. Next week we're going to talk about the root of injustice. Why we are unfair to others. I'll give you a little sneak preview. Probably because somebody's been unfair to us. I don't get mad, I get even. You ever taken something somebody's done to you and take it out on somebody else? A husband would never cuss out his boss at work, but he'll go home and cuss out his wife. Well, I'm sorry, I just had a bad day. That ain't no excuse for you to be a donkey's behind when you get home. She didn't do nothing. Or vice versa. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Listen, I know you didn't get a whole lot tonight. But you will if you'll come back and get the rest of this. Part 2 and 3, it's going to get good. And I believe the Lord will give us something that will help us. Now listen, don't go out of here saying, Brother Eddie's against all the people marching and all. It just got me thinking. All that chanting, what do we want? Justice. What do we want? Justice. What do we? And I thought, ooh, man, if you knew what you was asking for. What do we want? We want grace. God, give us grace as we deal with each other and we deal with the world. Chances are somebody's in here tonight. Heard the first part of this message, and your life and your heart is in a mess because somebody's treated you unfair. Remember, being treated unfair is not an excuse to be unfair. And we'll get more into that in the next 2 weeks.
But, boy, if you're dealing with that, why don't you come get on this altar tonight? Why don't we get some moms and dads to get on this altar and say, Lord, help us to be fair in our home and dealing with our children. Help us not to prefer one above the other. I believe a lot of the reason Jacob's boys were rotten was Jacob. Doesn't make them an excuse now, don't get me wrong. Doesn't make two wrongs, don't make a right. You ever heard of a kid acting out just to get attention? Even if it's the wrong kind of attention? Be careful. Brother Todd, y'all come if you would. Ashley, y'all sing the verse of invitation if y'all don't mind. I don't really know how to give the invitation. I promise you, I just didn't. If I go into this further, we're going to be here a while. And I don't want to be long-winded tonight. I've already been accused of that today. Got the funeral home. Brother Carl's daddy looked up and saw me. He said, what are you doing here? I said, well, I'm here for the funeral. He said, it ain't time for you to hush yet. I said, I ain't long-winded. He said, yeah, I've been every time I come. I said, it ain't me. They sing a long time. Amen. So I promise you, I wasn't long-winded tonight. But if you'll take the beginning of this message and let it begin to sink into your heart, ooh, give that thing room to work, I promise you the rest of it will help. So let's mind the Lord tonight. Y'all sing whatever God's put on your heart. Let's just mind God. Dealing with injustice, the reality of it, it's part of life. Expect it, deal with it, and move on. Amen. Y'all go ahead.